The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Iowa. Participating in today's public affairs program are Kit Cameron of KCHA Radio in Charles City and Gordon Wolf of the Denison Bulletin and Review. The first question will come from KCHA's Kit.
Hello, how are you doing today, Senator Grassley?
It's a wonderful day. I'm down here in Keokuk County.
And it is beautiful.
I'm holding town meetings. I suppose it's probably a little warmer down here than it is in Charles City.
Well, we're happy with sunny and 55. And, of course, with spring and beautiful weather like today, I'm going to go right to a question that sort of addresses that. This is from a listener, Kate. She asks about, is there any hope of making road cycling safer in Iowa, and not just the bike trails, but actually traveling the roadways for bicyclists?
Yeah. Well, I can tell Kate that it's good that she asked me that question, because I got a partial answer from the federal government, but probably about 90% of the safety or the facilities for bicycling is going to be decided by the Iowa State Legislature or by the Department of Transportation. But from the federal level, I can say this, that we have in the road fund discretion for states to spend 10% of their money on bike trails if they want to. So the federal gas tax dollar allows a great deal of flexibility to the states to use that money for cycling. And so then I just thought of one other thing before, besides talking to the state legislature, that would be on safety. Talk to the Department of Transportation on bike trails, the amount of money for that, but also she'd have to talk to her local people if they were going to set aside bike lanes on certain streets for bikes. That would be a city council decision. And then also probably if they want more money from the state for bike trails in her part of the state, she probably needs to have local elected officials petition the state for that money. Now to Denison.
Yes, thank you, Senator. Are you concerned about the ramifications of the Des Moines Water Works lawsuit against Buena Vista, Calhoun, and Sac counties, in that it could open up opportunities for downstream entities to sue anyone upstream? And can you envision the federal government becoming involved in this or similar instances?
Well, I don't know. I don't know to what degree, but I'm the federal government and federal law would be involved, but since they're in federal court, I believe the Clean Water Act is probably the tool that they're trying to use. And I think that it would be extremely, if Des Moines won that case, it would be extremely difficult for farmers to justify tiling. And then what do you do about the tile in north central Iowa that was put in 120 years ago? and what it'd be like if you weren't for productivity of foodstuff if you didn't tile that land, but it's already tiled. The other thing is the extent to which it's easy to sue family farmers. And they may be suing a drainage district, but don't forget, in turn, the landowners support the drainage district and all the costs of the drainage district, so eventually it's going to go back on the farmers. Yes, it's very, very scary to agriculture, to drainage districts, to the economy of rural America, but also it kind of puts into question the understanding of people in the cities. Do they realize that if you get a 10-inch rain instead of a 1-inch rain and you have a lot of runoff, there's not much a farmer can do about that? That's a God thing, not a farmer thing.
Kit?
Charles City?
Yes, I have a question from another listener. Lenny asks, when can we expect the rights of people to know what is in our food to be more important than corporate profits? For example, companies already label GMO products as necessary for China and Europe, why not for U.S. market and let the U.S. consumer decide?
Well, I think the best answer to that is that we've had at least one and sometimes two and three government agencies make a decision that the food is safe. And so if you're a processor and you're marketing food according to established safety standards and scientific standards that are put out by the federal government, what more do you need? And then the whole purpose of labeling is to label what's safe or not safe and what the contents are and what's the advantage of the labeling if it doesn't give you valuable information about what that might do to you. Then there's a whole other issue that, let's just say you are going to have labeling, then you get into should it be done by the states or the federal government? Well, as a practical matter, when you have companies that are marketing in all 50 states, you can't expect that company to have 50 different labels. So the states, by passing legislation, are violating the U.S. Constitution, where it says that only the federal government has the power to regulate interstate and foreign commerce. So let's just hypothetically say that I would agree with your question and questioner and say we need a law. It's got to be a federal law, not a state law. And then lastly, she said something about corporate profit. If a corporation doesn't make a profit, they aren't going to be in business. Just like farming. If you don't make a profit over the long haul, you're not going to be in business as a farmer or any business. So you can't find fault with profit, or there wouldn't be any jobs.
Gordon?
Yes, Senator. Do you believe the 2015 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee can be persuaded to keep lean red meat in the guidelines? And what role should sustainability in food production play in determining the guidelines?
On the latter, nothing, because the whole issue of the dietary guidelines is the health of the individual. And when they issue dietary guidelines that says that if you shouldn't eat red meat, particularly from cattle, because it's harmful to the environment, that's got nothing to do with the diet, and they ought to stay within their expertise. And so we're very concerned about the guidelines being going beyond their original intent. So several of us in Congress have contacted the Department of Agriculture to express our disagreement with them and ask for reconsideration. And if they pursue down this line, I think we would probably have some sort of a rider on our appropriation bill expressing our disapproval and stopping the dietary guidelines from doing what your question implies.
Thank you.
Last question from Kit.
And I have another listener. Jason asks, is there any plan for significant reduction of the federal government, not a political cut where growth is less than is talked about, but actual reduction in the size, power, and spending of the government?
In some departments, yes, but overall, no. If the question is in regard to getting to a balanced budget, if you were to balance the budget next year, you'd have to cut expenditures 50%. Now, what we're doing, as opposed to what the president did in his budget and the budget that the Senate adopted last week, the president would increase spending every year, increase the national debt every year. He would increase taxes $1.8 trillion dollars. He would increase the national debt by $4.7 trillion, whereas the congressional budget would get us down to the point of balance at the end of our budget window. And so I think there's a distinct difference between what the president proposes to do in his expenditures, have increase the national debt, increase taxes, increase expenditures, whereas we want to get to a balanced budget and do it without increasing taxes.
Thank you, Kit and Gordon, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.